Hey, Serial Progress Seekers, do you have an idea for a podcast like this one, but have no idea where to start? What if I told you that you could create your own high-quality audio and video podcast for under $150? The Serial Progress Seeker podcast team has put together a comprehensive guide that includes a breakdown and links to all of the audio equipment, video equipment, and software you need to get your podcast started immediately. And to say thank you for supporting the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, we're offering this guide to you for free. To get your free podcast production guide, simply visit serialprogressseeker.com/startmypodcast to get started today.
This episode of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast is brought to you by Carbon Copy. Is it taking way too long to get the traction you want on your social media platforms? Listen, you're not alone. This is a huge roadblock for businesses trying to grow all over the world, and you need social media to help you grow. That's why I want to introduce you to Carbon Copy, our secret to getting explosive growth and attracting influencer-level engagement to your social media platforms. Carbon Copy is a collection of professionally designed content templates that will position your brand for success and put a global audience within your reach. You select a template, make a few changes to fit your brand, and you've got a professionally designed social media post ready to go. To leverage our world-class design team so that your brand looks like your favorite social media influencers, go to serialprogressseeker.com/Carbon Copy right now and follow the prompts. That's serialprogressseeker.com/Carbon Copy.
Are you a podcaster that's finally ready to make money with your podcast? On today's show, we're diving into the most important tool a podcaster has to make that a reality. That tool being your podcast website. This episode turned out to be one of my favorites because we broke down five of the top money-generating podcasts out there and walked through exactly what they're doing on their website to generate revenue effectively. Steal these tactics and start using them for your podcast. This is episode 104. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Serial Progress Seeker Podcast, your ultimate destination for unlocking the secrets to building a successful podcast. Each week, we gather a community of experienced podcasters, industry experts, and trailblazers to discuss everything from growing your listener base to generating revenue to the latest industry trends, plus a whole lot more. Okay, Serial Progress Seekers, let's get started with the show.
Ben, Tabitha, I'm excited to be here with you today. We've got a really good discussion ahead of us, especially dealing with something that we get hit with all the time. We get hit up by new podcasters and entrepreneurs that are considering getting into podcasting all the time. And they ask us a wide variety of things. We get asked about, you know, how do I get the best audio quality? How do I generate the best ideas for my podcast? How do I, you know, how do I get the most listeners for my show? There's a lot of different questions that come in. But we also get a lot of questions at the very beginning, and this is something that we've identified that is incredibly important for any podcaster out there to really set a base for themselves. And it's all about building an effective podcast website and how crucial that is to your overall presence and being able to actually not only build an effective website, but one that does what? Makes you money. It makes you some
money.
Ben, I'm going to turn it right over to you, dude. So when you start to talk to new podcasters, they come and hit you up and they say, okay, what do I have to do to get this website going? Why is this important for me as a podcaster to have a website? What do you tell them when they ask you that question?
It's never that to start. It's always everybody comes out and they say, well, I've got this idea for a podcast that I think is genius. And like more often than not, they really do. I have so many people that come to me and they've got an idea that I think is unique and I think it adds, you know, entertainment to, you know, the world. And it's something that I would listen to for 100 episodes. Like some really good ideas that not just to do one or two podcasts, but to like really do something big. And the problem is, and I get to it really quickly, and this is my question is, well, that's cool. But like, what's going to keep you motivated to keep doing this? And a lot of people don't think that through. A lot of people don't think, you know, what's the thing? What's the end goal? How am I going to turn this into something? And the problem is if you can't afford it, meaning, you know, maybe you've got your podcast set up. Maybe, you know, it's not expensive to start a podcast, obviously. We teach all about that at serialprogressseeker.com. Shameless plug. But the idea here is that nobody is going to have the time to do this every single week if there's not some return. And that's all there is to it. If there's not some return because, you know, you think, well, I don't need to make a lot of money because I've got my equipment, I can do this. But it's the hours. And there's going to be weeks where you've got other things going where this is not a priority because it's not bringing in anything. And so I tell people right out of the gate when they tell me that, I'm like, that's great, but how are you going to monetize this thing? And how are you going to make money with this so that, you know, there's something coming back in, so there's some sort of return, so that you can do this for 100, 200 episodes at the very least, and it'd be something that you're getting paid for your time. At the very least, you're getting paid for your time. And so when we get to that point, you know, that's a discussion we have to have. And very quickly after that, the number one thing that you have to have, and this is, you can tell the difference between certain kinds of podcasts that are done just as hobbies versus those that aren't. When a podcast has their own website, they are positioning themselves to make money. If you don't have your own website, maybe you're running your website through some podcasting service. Maybe you're running your website through, you know, just something that was an aside because it was included in your plan that when you're setting up your podcast, those are typically hard to do because they're not set up for monetization. And so, you know, when we're really helping people through the process of starting a podcast and helping them to get paid for this thing that they're like super passionate about talking about, we're really focused on what's going to happen when you send people to your website and how does that turn into something that brings income back into your podcast. If not right away, you know, you're setting yourself up eventually to do that. And the other thing that, you know, I think is really important about this, and we'll dive deep into this, is, you know, how are you using your website to put together an easier way to get listeners back to the next episode of the podcast? And so, you know, as we get into this and we get into websites for a podcast and why you should have one, I think it's important. If you want to have a podcast that, you know, maybe you make your career, maybe you make it a side gig that really pays you really well, or really if you just want to do your podcast more than maybe 10 episodes and that's something that you think, hey, I would really enjoy doing this, you need to have it set up in a way that you can monetize it. And the website is the foundation of that. And so as we get into this today, I think that's the big thing for me.
Well, that's the biggest thing. I mean, we talk about all the time and we hear the stats. I think about the stat that rings out in my head all the time of the number of podcasts that don't get past a certain level, right? And we know there's a variety of reasons why that happens, whether it's someone's inability to be consistent about production or whatever it may be. But I think a lot of times people probably get into it and go, I'm going to make money fast, right? I'm going to get in, right. I'm going to get thousands of listeners right off the bat, and I'm going to start monetizing, and we're going to turn this into my whole life. And while, of course, there are some podcasts out there that have been able to do that, we've seen several of them, and we're like, wow, that's very impressive. That's not a sustainable ideal for a lot of us as we're getting started from a podcasting standpoint. So I want us to talk about kind of the ins and outs, the A to Z of what we call effective podcast websites and how a podcaster can, you know, take what they've found to work, what we've been able to find that works. We've seen other podcasters doing all over the place and how they're actually generating money for their brand, their business, or for just the podcast in general. So, and we touched a little bit on it. Obviously, we know now that the overall idea here is we're going to talk about how to generate money through a podcast website. But let's go back to the basics of it. We talked about why does a podcast need a website? There's some real fundamental reasons why a podcast would need a website. So let's touch on some of those. You know, if I'm sitting here as a beginning podcaster and I'm going, I know I want to eventually make money, but I might not know the little things that are going to happen along the way that are going to get me there. So take us through some of those initial things as you're building a website for a podcast. Why do I need it as a beginning podcaster?
Well, something that, you know, Tabitha and I, you know, even as long as we've done this, I think, you know, we've done a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Before we even got to this podcast, we've done a lot of podcasts, and I think we've done a lot of things right in places. We've done a lot of things wrong in places. And I think that the number one thing that everybody has to understand is you make money with your podcast however you monetize it. You make money with your podcast by leveraging your website. But there's got to be something present in the podcast that gives people a reason to go to your website. One of the things that I think our listeners will recognize very, very quickly about the Serial Progress Seeker podcast is we try to put it forward several times in an episode. And we should actually start doing a drinking game that every time we say we'll include the link in the show notes, you guys take a shot.
Here we go. Right. Cheers.
So, right. Cheers. And so, but there's a lot to that. When I'm listening to a podcast, maybe I'm at the gym, maybe I'm in my car, I'm not in a place usually where I can go type in a URL. I'm not in a place where I can, like, you know, capture that, even though it's something I really want to check out. But when I'm listening to a podcast that does this correctly, the podcast host or, you know, whoever's on there usually is good at saying this at least 5 times during the show. Hey, go check the show notes for this. And what that does with your listener base is it gives you a level of comfort to know, hey, if I ever need anything or if I need to do this, I don't have to stop the pod. I don't have to make a note. I can always just go to their website, you know, and if you say it enough, people start to remember what the website is. And there's always the show notes for that episode where I can find what I need later. And so something that is super important in your podcast is to sort of establish that. And you know, you don't want to be, you know, I made a joke with the plug earlier, but that's the idea. You want to continually plug that you have a place for people to go for the show notes. Now, for us with the show notes, it's something that it's usually just the links. So if we talk about a service we use, we talk about a product that we use, we talk about another podcaster, we're sending people back to the website. And over time, as people listen to episode after episode, you really start to get that comfort level that they know that that is a security blanket for them. They can always go to the website. So the first thing that everybody, you know, before you even get into what's on the website, I think you have to start thinking about what about my podcast would people go to the website for? Like, what am I doing during the podcast that sends people to that website that they would need? You know, what is the thing that, like, motivates people to at least visit the podcast sometime later in the day, or, you know, the website later in the day from the podcast, but I'm reminding them of that. So it's not just reminding people to go to the website, but what are you putting in front of them as bait to go to the website? And so as you're thinking about a website, before you get into the monetization of it, you got to think, okay, well, what am I doing just, you know, people can get for free that they want to go to the website anyway? Because nobody's going to go to your podcast website just to go to your podcast website. They're going because you have something on the show that you are sending them back there to. Now, this may seem like a simple concept, but it's important to establish. Now, once you get with that, and I would literally do this if you're somebody that's listening, what's the list? And so I think it'd be good, like, going around the room, what are the things that, you know, you guys, when you listen to the podcast that you listen to, what is the list of things that they mention that you guys go do? The first for me is typically when I'm listening to a podcast with a guest, because I do a lot of how-to, right? I'm into a lot of how-to, and a lot of those how-to podcasts have guests. I am looking for the link back to the guest stuff because I was really interested in the guest. I want to go to see what this guest website, what they're doing. The guest usually gives something away, and I'm going to the show notes for that. Like, what are you guys looking for when you go to, when you're like motivated to go back? So, you know, Marshall, like, Tab, what do you got?
Oh, I'm superficial. Like, I like listening to podcasts, but I always wonder what that person looks like. So I always go and look to see pictures and see if I can figure out, without looking or reading names, like, who is who, and try to figure out what they look like and do they match what they sound like to me, which is so superficial. But that's one of the first things I always do.
No, but I think that's really good because it's like, you know, when you kind of fall in love with this voice, you want to put a face to it. And I don't think that's as silly as what you're making it out to be. I think what it is like, as human beings, you know, when we hear a voice and we kind of start to bond with that mm-hmm. voice, we want to attach it to a set of eyes. And, you know, so I think that, like, there's a huge lesson there is when, you know, you go to a website, one of the first things that needs to be there is the pictures of the people that are talking. If you go to Serial Progress Seeker right now, what is the first thing above the fold that greets you? And it's the three of us, right? And so I think that that's a very big thing. Is like, you wouldn't, that's not necessarily what, you know, you would think, mm-hmm. but that's something that I think a lot of people will do out of the gate. Marshall, like, what do you think? What are some other things that you go to a podcast website for when you listen to one?
Typically, I think for me, it seems like there's always something referenced that I want to go and dive after. So typically, because of the podcast that I listen to it for a couple reasons. I'm trying to learn something, or I just want to be entertained. For the entertainment ones, I might not go and dig as much, but when I'm trying to learn something, typically the reason I ended up listening to this podcast is because something sold me along the way that I'm going to learn something by listening to this one. So and a lot of times I listen to podcasts a little bit passively too. So I'm out on right. a walk, or I'm working out, or whatever it may be. And I might not be right in front of a computer and can access what I want right at that moment, but I'll hear something and it'll click. And what I always do is I take a screenshot on my phone and I send it to myself to come back to later, so I can go and check, you know, the links that they just mentioned, the website they mentioned, the a lot of times, especially on like interview pods, they reference like ancillary interviews. So they'll say, you know, go back and check this earlier podcast, or go and check this this person out because they're an expert in this or whatever it may be. So when I hear those things, like, it kind of makes me think that's when I'm going to go and dig into the website and find out more. So.
Well, and I think that we leverage this a lot. It's, you know, half of our job is to be useful yeah. for people. You know, the other half is to sometimes be entertaining, you know, sometimes, but I think useful. And so a lot of what, you know, what we bring, I think, to the table is, you know, we are linking to products, but books are a big one for me. Like, I can't tell you how many books I have bought after a podcast where I listened to the person and I really liked, you know, their vibe and kind of what they were doing. And they, while they taught me a 10,000 foot view of something that I wanted to learn, they led me down a path to get deeper. And that's where I bought a book, I bought a course, something like that. And so links are always the thing for like 90% of the podcast. When I'm going back to the actual podcast website, I'm going because I don't want to have to take notes myself, period. When I'm listening to a pod, I don't listen to pods like I go through YouTube videos or courses where I have a notepad in front of me or I can like type. I'm usually struggling at the gym, or I am, you know, driving somewhere. And so it's like that reassurance that I can get back for links. I can get a sense of what's going on with the host. Another thing that I think is really, really good is, and this kind of goes into what Tabitha was saying, is a lot of times on a audio only broadcast, there are jokes, there are pictures, there are funny things that happen in the podcast studio that somebody will take a picture of, or they're referencing something that's funny. Like, you know, when we do our Creepy Dave thing at the end of every pod, you know, we like to have a link to that. And so it's like you get this ability when you're doing audio to tell a story, but sometimes you need that visual. And I think it's really fun when you can tie that visual back to showing somebody a picture of something that happened. You know, a really, really good one is the last time that we hung out. This would be an excellent thing. We could talk about the last time that we all hung out and the pretzel incident. And, you know, and a picture of what the hotel room floor looked like with all the pretzels. That would be a great way to call back and to lead people back to the website so that they could see the pandemonium of the pretzel incident. And I'm not going to go into details.
I was panicked that there was photos.
Oh, no, I don't think there was photos of that, thank goodness. But no, but this is like, you understand where I'm going with this. Is like when we talk about certain things and specific things where people want to see behind the scenes, or they want to see a visual of something that we talked about that was, you know, fun or interesting. Maybe it's a map to something. Maybe it's a, those are the things that you can put on your podcast website. And it's just really difficult to get that across audio-wise. Plus, this medium doesn't lend itself to that. And so that's what it really becomes. It becomes a way for you to express yourself on the pod and to know that you can get the visual out to people by sending them back to your website. And it gives people an excuse to go to the website. And so I think it's incredibly important that as a podcaster, no matter what your podcast is about, it's always thinking about, because we try to do things just in audio because that's our medium, but always think about what are the visuals, what are the links that gives people a reason to go back to my site. And I think that's incredibly important. So that's, you know, one of the aspects before we even get to what's on the site, because we have some very defined things. I think it's important that every single episode you reference, go to the website for this, go to the website for this, go to the show notes for this episode for this. And your audience starts to become trained to knowing that that is always there when they need it. And what's funny is not only will they go in after the episode, but they'll start making it part of their regular browsing. And that's when things start to get interesting because of the things that you can actually put on the website too, you know, and we get a whole list of people that are listening to the podcast just on the website, you know, because they're listening to it at work. And that's just the easiest way to get there. You know, on their phone, maybe it's iTunes, Maybe it's, you know, Google Podcasts, something like that. Maybe it's Spotify. But when they're in the office and they want to listen to us, maybe they're working on something, they're just going to go to our website. And the more we train people that that is available there, that's key. So that's the start. But yeah, like getting into what's actually on the website, like this is what I actually want to ask you guys. What do you think is the most important things about, you know, with the site? And I know we have some examples here in a bit of sites, but like, what do you guys think is the most important parts of, you know, what we actually put on the site in terms of content, you know? And I know we kind of talked about this, but like, to me, you know, our links are always important. But I think there's a few other subtle things that are sitting there on the site that do some things. So, you know, from you guys' perspective, what do you think is an important part of what we do? But also some of the important things that others do that are interesting. Anything hits you right off the bat?
Yeah, I got one right off the bat.
Go, Marshall.
Oh, we both do. We both do. Nice. Well, that means we both have good things. That's awesome. For me, a lot of times when I go and visit a website after, you know, getting ingrained in a podcast, what I'm trying to do is figure out how do I become part of the community. So yeah. I think that's got to be a really big element on a website. So and I think about all the ones that I follow pretty, you know, I say religiously, like, you know, we've all got our handful that we listen to very often. So we probably already consider ourselves a part of that community. But how do I ingrain myself more? How do I, you know, is there a Facebook group I should join? Is there, you know, some merchandise I should purchase? Like, you know, how do I get involved? How do I jump on their newsletter email list? You know, whatever it may be, so I can get to know these people who have started to make a part of my life on a regular basis. How do I get to know them better? And how do I become part of this group that supports them? I think that's a big one for me.
I think a lot of people lose that too. I think a lot of people think, well, people don't want to be a part of this extra stuff. They just want the button. No, I mean, like when people fall in love with you, they want to know everything and they want to know where else you are. Are you on YouTube or are you on social so I can follow you there and get like behind the scenes? And I think that that's a big, big part of, it's not just, hey, I'm just going there for the links because that's the valuable part. I'm going there because people fell in love with what I do. And when people start to do that, it's like what Tabitha said, they want to bond with you. They want to see you in other places. They want to, you know, and that's me. Like if I, like every podcast I listen to you guys, I follow them on Instagram. And so the number one thing that I'm trying to do usually when I listen to a podcast, which is the dumbest thing in the world, and maybe that's a, you know, it's like Tab said, you feel funny about it. But like, I'm trying to figure out where they are. And so when they give me the place that I can go to their website, that's kind of what I'm looking for is like, can I follow them on Instagram? Because I'm on Instagram a lot. And I'm looking for something different on Instagram than I actually am with their podcast. And so, you know, it's an interesting sort of thing. So Tab, you had one too. What do you got?
Well, not a surpriser is branding for me. It's got to be consistent across everything that they do, like across social, websites got to match everything. So that's mine's simple, but it's branding.
No, yeah. And I think that it's it's part of, do I feel at home mm-hmm. with this person? And when what comes out of their mouths and the content that they have matches the branding, it's just, I'm in, I'm so in. Like, it's just, it's amazing how that stuff pulls you in. So, no, I totally agree. And, you know, so I think that, you know, from a perspective of where we've been so far, it's like, I'm looking for initially when I fall in love with like the pod and I'm like in, I'm initially looking for like links to things. That's the start for me. But if you can get me there once, yeah, it's like Marshall said, it's like, how can I become deeper into this community and like become one of, you know, the folks that are a part of this? And then I'm looking for, you know, the branding, because I don't think a lot of people think that they're looking for the branding, but they are. And it's one of those things where you're like, the branding tells you if this is your home. It really, really does. And I think if the branding is on point, it really locks you in a way because you're like, okay, I am one of them. You know, and that's what it's like when you walk into a building, and this is how I think of this. When you walk into a building, do you feel safe? Number one, that's, you know, anytime we walk into a new location, when we walk through the threshold of a door, do I feel safe? And from there, you're like, okay, do I feel comfortable? You know, not only do I feel safe, but do I feel comfortable here? And then, okay, well, who are the people that are in this building and do I like them? Do I want to come back? And, you know, as a brick and mortar business owner back in the day, that was something that was very, you know, the whole experience of coming through the door, experiencing the services, you're always thinking about every step of the way. That's what your website does. Mm-hmm. Your website really starts to lock in. Like maybe I heard, you know, this person speak at a meeting that I went to in person, but when I actually go to their office, does that feeling consistently go through the whole experience? And I think that's the thing of the podcast. The first time I listen to a podcast is maybe a friend referred it to me or I saw something on social media. Okay, if I dug it, but then I go into their home, which is the website. And does that feel like something that I'm supposed to be
a part of? Don't you think that lends to trust from a big standpoint? So
yeah.
What I think of when you're talking about that, and I'm really glad Tab said brand because it really clicked for me too. We think about the fact that, like I just mentioned, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, I'm going there specifically to try to learn something. So if you teach me something in that podcast and I go and take that next step to try to learn more about you and I go to a website that in no way matches brand and I can't find a way to plug into your community and stuff like that, holy cow, have you broken this whole chain along the way? And by the time I get to those next elements, if I want to keep that trust in you, you better make sure that when I get there, I'm going to see and recognize what I felt when I just listened to you on the podcast. So I think I'm fully 100% on board with what Tab said, because that hit home for me too, because I'm obviously trusting you enough to give you my time and my energy to, you know, listen to this podcast. But then from there, I might have just picked something up and I want to go follow it. And if it breaks along the way, man, you might lose me forever.
Well, you know, I think that this is, you know, we'll get into branding in a second, but like just from the things that need to belong on this page and, you know, from a level of monetization, you don't have to get into that at first. And I think that's the thing. A lot of people think that, you know, I don't know how to monetize my podcast. I don't know how to get into this. You don't have to start there. The start of a website and monetizing your podcast with your website is simply exactly what you guys have talked about. Is there a way to become more a part of the community and does it feel like home? And if you can establish that with your website, a lot of times, you know, at the beginning of every one of our shows, what is the very beginning? What is the starting commercial? I'm not even talking about the show. I'm talking about like the commercial that you hear that plays over most of our podcast. Now, down the road, if you're listening to this, maybe we've changed the opening commercial. But at this moment, the opening commercial for our podcast is, hey, do you want to start your own podcast? And if you want to start your own podcast, you can do that for less than $150. Go to serialprogressseeker.com, put in your information. We'll send you the guide on how to do that. Now, what that is doing is obviously we're teaching you how to do something. You know, we're baiting you with, hey, we've got something that is going to be helpful for you. We're experts at this. Let us help you to not spend so much money to get this thing started. But when you go there, not only do you become a part of this, you know, the list and get what you wanted, but you become sort of a part of the weekly community of what's happening with our pod, meaning you're going to start getting updates that the new pod is out and what we're talking about. And so what we've done there, and don't even think about monetization yet, what we've done is we've given you the ability to hear from us in a different medium. And I think that's huge. So that's one piece. The other piece is very prominently in different spots on the website, there are places for you to go and you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You know, another thing that I've started doing every single day that I get excited about is the Daily Progress. And it is a very laid back, very terrible, unproduced thing that I do, but it's behind the scenes of all this, you know? But that's the idea. It's supposed to feel unproduced. And so, you know, if you're on our Facebook, if you're on YouTube, you can follow the Daily Progress when it comes out every day. And so that's another sort of behind the scenes. We've got a Facebook group, you know, that we've got put together that you can go join. And so these are the things that you don't have to shove them down people's throats, but you give them the ability to easily find them on your website. And people start to become a part of the community that you're after, you know, and that's the thing. So at the start of monetization, the start of this, you got to think, okay, all I'm really doing to attract people to come to my website is during the show, I'm giving out, you know, go check our show notes for the links, for the pictures, things I talked about. But also on those pages, make sure you've got your social channels where you also belong. Make sure you've got something that is a giveaway that somebody can opt into an email list or opt into a text list. and they can get something for free. That gives you the ability as the host to build up your channels too. If you build that email list, you can send people to your Facebook group and be like, hey, we'd love to have you over here. Hey, go check out our Instagram. Hey, go check out the next episode. So it gives you the ability to communicate with your audience in a way that is much more proactive. And so at the very start of this website thing, make sure you got your show notes, make sure you got your socials, but make sure you've got something that you built to give away. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, everybody thinks this opt-in thing that you put on a website is like really hard. But guys, what is ours? Ours is like, it's a Canva document. It's a one-page Canva document with a diagram and a list of all the things that you do to start a podcast. It took us an hour to put that together. Now, granted, it took us an hour to put together because we're experts at this, but like, it's not something that's over the top. We don't even host the download, you know, like you wouldn't even have to do that. You could literally link to a Canva document and you could build that for free. And so it doesn't have to be over the top. It just has to be your expertise. And, you know, you could get all that stuff put together fairly quickly. So that's sort of the base of it, right? That's sort of the base of what we're doing with ours. But I think it's really interesting if, you know, you look around, everybody does this a little differently. But the core thing that I think is really interesting is the people that are actually monetizing their podcast, either with sponsorships or, you know, they're selling you something, whether it's a physical product, a digital product, maybe a behind the scenes membership. Most of them that are doing it at a very high level do it from a website. And so, you know, I know that we've got some favorites of people that do this, and I'd love to talk about some other people. And by the way, you can go check our show notes for these links that we're about to give you and the people we're going to talk about. What is that? Two shots?
Yep, here we go. Turning it up.
So
thankful you can't see what I'm drinking.
No, it's good. It's good. So I think that that's the thing. I'd love to talk about some of your favorites, you guys. Like who out there has a podcast website that is doing something, you know, very clever in terms of, you know, it doesn't have to be over the top clever, but like in terms of monetization and they're leveraging their website, who are some of the ones that you guys think are really, really good at this? And then, like I said, we can tailor back into some of, like, you know, I think after we go at these, we can talk about kind of specifically the revenue that they're driving. Marshall, what would be the first one that you would think of?
I think from a strictly a monetization standpoint, I go, my head first goes to merchandise in a lot of situations. Just sure. Because I feel like a lot of the ones that I listen to, especially the ones that are, you know, the ones you and I and everyone has probably heard of, they have developed that community that we've talked about. So people want to go and they want to buy the t-shirt and they want to drink out of the coffee mug and they want the, you know, the pens that they could write, whatever it is. There's a million things that you could go and merchandise based off of your podcast. There is one that is towards the top of every single podcast list that I see everywhere. And I've done a lot of studying on it recently, so it's interesting to find, but it's called the Call Her Daddy podcast. I mentioned this one to you guys before. It's a very, very interesting website to me. I went and checked it out for the first time, and I've been back several times since then because it's so interesting to me. But the first thing you see when you get to their website is merch. It's like, it's hardly even like, you can look in a small menu towards the top and you can find out how to get to the episodes and some of the other information. But the first thing they want you to do when you get to their site is to go buy their shit. You know, I'm like, you know what, if I've got a podcast built to make money, there's a pretty darn good way to do it, is to put that in someone's face right on the first page of the website. It's above the fold. It's right there in your face as soon as you get there.
Well, here's the thing I love about that podcast. It feels, and all the best do this, but it feels like an inside joke. And if you are a listener to that podcast, and you find someone else that's a listener to that podcast, there's a bond. Like if I'm out in public and it comes up. And so I think this is what's so clever about their merch is, and there's several people on our list that I think that fit into this model. But what's so fun about their merch is it's fun to wear their merch because it prompts that discussion with other people. Maybe there's some people that like to see the merch that you're wearing and they don't get it, right? They don't understand it. And that's okay. Like it doesn't, you know, it's not going to be a big deal if they don't get it. But the people that know what you're shirt or your whatever you've got or talking about, it's like instant connection. And I think that that's what's so fun about, you know, and I think a lot of podcasters out there that like have really, really good shows shy away from this because like, why would somebody want a t-shirt with my stuff on it? And it's for that very reason. We want to connect with other humans. And it's not just about connecting with the person that puts on the podcast. It's about connecting with other listeners of the podcast so that we can have discussions. Oh, have you heard this episode? Did you hear when they did this? And I think too many times as human beings, we struggle to start conversations with each other. You know what I mean? Like we really do. And it's hard for some of us to start conversations. And even when we're like really good at, you know, talking and we're extroverted, having something that is a conversation lubricant and prompts it is huge. And so that's what I really love about that particular podcast and their merch is you're right. They hit you right away with it. But like when you go there, you're like, yeah, I'm in. Like I totally want to, I want to wear this on my chest and like, and be a part of this.
And based, so, and based on everything totally you just said, the fact that you just said lubricant goes right on brand with Caller Daddy. So I think that was purpose, well done. Yeah. Well done.
And that's why that's a fun brand is because they don't shy away from that. And that's who the listeners are. You know, and that definitely falls into all of us, you know, loving that pod. So Tab, what about you? Like, you got any good examples?
So mine is like right on the exact same tracks as Marshall's. And it's, you know, my murder podcast, My Favorite Murder, which is, you know, one of my favorite ones. It's the exact same way. You land on the website and the very first thing you see is merch. And it is very much so listener oriented. They've got all the fuck politeness, the SSDGMs, the stay out of the woods, the this is terrible, keep going, right. All the stuff that all the fans know and love. But then right after that is goes right into their fan cult membership, which so they sell you merch, they sell you membership. I mean, it was right out the gate doing a little bit of research, which I've gone to all these websites before, but researching them specifically for this episode, it was like, oh, I do see what their top of mind thing is. And it's definitely being, you know, generating income for them. So well, on their website, you have to scroll a little bit before you actually get to episodes. So it's definitely sell you this, sell you that, go a little bit further before you actually get into content. But yeah.
Well, I think that's okay.
I do too.
I think that, you know, the real big thing here is a lot of times people get into this mode of not wanting to do merch and not wanting to sell courses and not wanting to do premium because they think, I want to stay pure. I don't want to sell out. You know, this is artists. This is us artists. You know, all of us artists. This is our problem is like we think that if we do sell something, it's not art anymore. And the problem is people that experience your art and love it, like really love it, they want to take it with them. And they want to share and start conversations about it. And so what I'm looking for, and I get perturbed when I really fall in love with something and I don't have a good way to support it. And that's how I feel about it. You know, we go back to the 1,000 true fans sort of thing. And we'll link to that article to everybody in the show notes. Yeah, I know, right? But seriously, the 1,000 true fans concept is if you have 1,000 people that just love everything that you do, you could make a wildly successful career out of it, and you can build a big business out of it. But the idea is just that. There's so many times, you know, as a fan of something that I went and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to buy from them today, but I just heard a song or I just listened to a podcast that was life-changing for me, and I want to spend money to become deeper involved with this. And so I think it's important.
And one thing that just to add to this,
I got one
thing that I thought was interesting too, is that on their cult membership, it's obviously a monthly membership and they obviously want to make more income. Right. So they try to drive you to that a little bit by giving you a $20 credit to the merch store. Right. So instead of coming in and being like, I want to buy merch, this one-time payment, instead, you may go to the merch or go to the fan club, sign up for that monthly fee and still get your merch. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, strategic. On that, everybody listening, go to check out that website.
My Favorite Murder.
We'll have it in there for you. But like, yeah, go check out My Favorite Murder and watch what they're doing from a perspective of, you know, the membership, the merch, and how they're actually linking those. And that's, you know, how they do that on the site. It's really clever. Mm-hmm. Little different. I'm going to confess, I'm not a huge fan of this podcast. But there is no denying that they have monetization down, and like down to a science. And so Joe Rogan, getting into the Joe Rogan podcast, I think is, you know, if you really want to see some very interesting things, go check this podcast out. Now, this podcast is one of the OGs in the podcasting world. It's been around forever. And what's so interesting about this is when you go to Joe Rogan's website, you're not only greeted with like merch, and you can get Joe Rogan inside joke type merch there, which is good. And this is a got to be a huge revenue driver for them. But I think that the thing about the Joe Rogan podcast that's very, very important is Joe Rogan is trying to drive big numbers. And so a lot of what that podcast is designed to do is not only have really great guests, which you know, bring new people in, they have great clips. But when you go to this, you see that Joe is monetizing other parts of his business. And I think that that's incredibly important to realize what's going on there. It's like, you know, Joe goes on tour. You know, Joe's a comedian. Joe gets up on stage and his podcast becomes a primary driver to get people to buy tickets to shows. And so, you know, there's so many things going on with the Joe Rogan podcast website that it's something that you absolutely have to go look. You know, Joe gets signed up for Netflix comedy specials, which are going to be lucrative for him. But the reason they're lucrative for him and the reason he can get those, do we really think Joe Rogan's the best comedian in the world? Like, no, let's be honest. Absolutely not. But here's the thing. People that love Joe Rogan are absolutely going to watch those specials on Netflix because they're locked in. And I guarantee you, Joe Rogan's comedy specials are connect more with his podcast audience because they already sort of have this built-in love. And I'm not knocking Joe by any means, just because I'm not a big fan of the podcast. The reason I'm probably not a big fan of the podcast is because I don't have enough hours in the day to really give it. And I feel like there's, you know, there's a little more time involved with that one than I'm not able to give. But like, I think that, you know, that's what's so great. You can, as Netflix, you can be like, well, yeah, of course we're going to bring Joe to do a comedy special because there's going to be people watching it. And so, you know, with everything that's going on this website, you know, Joe's advertising those comedy specials, probably part of that deal with Netflix or with whatever network he's doing is we're going to put you right on the website. And so you go check out, you know, this stuff, you go check out, you can see the tour, you can see the specials, you can see all the stuff, you can get the merch. It's not an incredibly difficult website that Joe and his team have put together here, but it's the website that is the ground for everything that they do, you know. And, you know, if you go to YouTube, you can watch Joe there. You can listen to Joe in his podcast. But if you want to become deeper into it, you want to become a part of the community, you want to consume more of Joe because you're like, yeah, man, I love Joe, then this is the place you go. And there's plenty of opportunities to go spend money either on merch or to go see Joe in person or to check out anything that Joe wants to do. And I love this about this too is, you know, tomorrow there could be a cause, there could be a fundraiser, there could be a new product that Joe puts out and he could throw a banner at the top and he's going to sell the crap out of it because he's got that pull with the pod. But that's the thing. If he didn't have a website that he controlled, it would be much more difficult for him to mention something on the podcast and send people somewhere. And so it gives him that very easily.
It makes me
ease of monetization.
It makes me wonder, Ben, and you, I know that you've been obviously in this podcasting space for quite a long time. What about when Joe was in the early days? Do you think has changed? Because, you know, for me, I'm listening to you talk about that podcast and I have a lot of the same feelings. And I thought the same thing when I looked at his website, that it was pretty basic. But do you think it's that way because the audience is already built in and they think, okay, all we got to do is kind of have this cog in the machine. We've only got to do so much because we know it's just going to continue the machine rolling. Like, I just wonder if we could rewind 10 years. Do you think that strategy was a lot different back then?
I think that, you know, early on, and I remember there was a time when like one of my big podcasting accomplishments is there was a brief moment where I was ahead of Joe Rogan on the charts.
Wow.
And I mean, it was very brief, nice. Very, very brief. Now, let me tell you why Joe's amazing. The consistency of this podcast is unmatched, like absolutely unmatched. The amount of times and episodes that this man has put together with his team is unmatched. And so every good thing that comes towards, you know, I don't agree with everything that Joe says, but I'll tell you this, I respect the consistency. Sure. And, you know, so the thing is, yeah, I think that early on, probably what was going on was, this is an interesting medium and this medium fits me. I think that was exactly where Joe was, because I think that Joe is somebody that can talk forever. And I think it's somebody that can make people feel comfortable when they come on for an interview. I think that those are his skills. And so this was a great thing. But I think early on, yeah, I think it was just about the podcast. I think in the beginning, it was just about growing this thing. Obviously, he had Fear Factor. He had, you know, a lot of other things going on. But he didn't have a place that he controlled that it was his message. And so early on, the podcast was just about giving him a place where he could bring anybody that was into what he was doing, and he could center it and have a place that he controlled. But along the way, I think that we added into the website, and we did the website the way that it is now because it fits his brand.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing, is I don't think that, you know, everybody that listens to Joe Rogan has ever been to the website. It's just not the way that it goes. But there are moments when you need that because of what's going on. And so I think that, yes, it absolutely serves the purpose. And I think it's definitely changed over time. That is a podcast that, because of the consistency that they've done it, has dialed things into just a science. And there's a lot to learn from the YouTube channel for the Rogan podcast. There's a lot to learn from the actual podcast. Just go listen to the commercials, you know, listen to how that's monetized there, but then go to the website and check out what's going on there. And you start to put together a puzzle that's very interesting. And yeah, it's fascinating. So what else you guys got? What other websites kind of blow you away with how they've done things?
I'll tell you, another one that I went and checked out, as we were kicking around the idea, what we wanted to bring to this was, you know, what are some people out there doing that we're noticing some correlation between websites that we have and websites that other podcasters like us have. So there's one that I came across, and you guys have probably heard this one too, This American Life, another one of the biggest podcasts that's out there. I was struck by, and honestly, this has been that way with a lot of podcast websites that I've been to. I think in my head that I expected kind of what we talked about, the big branding, the big over the top stuff in your face when you get to these sites. And some of them, man, they just punch you in the mouth when you get there. Like, hey, this is why you're here. So the first thing that you see on the This American Life website is the most recent episode. And I'm like, okay, there you go. That's an effectively functioning podcast website, right? There it is.
Right.
Now I'm not an avid listener. So for me, what I would have loved to have seen specifically on that pod or on that website was, what's this podcast about? I went and dug a little bit more and figured more out about it. But I assume they're kind of like in that Joe Rogan stratosphere where they're like, their audience is so large. Listen, if you don't know us by now, you might have already missed the boat. I don't know. But they had, you know, all your typical, what I would consider like standard stuff that we know that is very, very important. The subscribe to the newsletter, shop the store, the merchandise, just like we've discussed. What's really cool, my favorite thing about that particular website is something they do that is different than I've seen anywhere else. And what they do is they categorize their shows. Now, when they do that, I say this because they've had almost 700 episodes. So it can be quite overwhelming to start digging through their catalogs. And what they've done is they've grouped some of them together under different headings. So there's one there that's, you know, if you're new to this podcast, come listen to this group of episodes. If you, you know, if you're on a road trip, here's a handful of them that would make a lot of sense for you to listen to. Here's a handful that we put together that were actually award winners. And I thought that was really, really cool how they grouped those together, because for me as a new listener, which a lot of times I think what we're hoping for when we put a podcast website together is to get new eyeballs on our product. Right. And I think that's a really good, effective way to get someone, you know, kind of ingrained into your community, into your world, into your podcast.
Agree. Tabitha, what about you? What else you got?
Well, of course.
What do you like?
Still going down the murder train here. So the other one that I like to bring up is Crime Junkie. And, you know, some of the things that you were mentioning earlier about the show notes and things like that, I think this is where those kind of things really play into the true crime type stuff, because their episode show notes are incredible. They'll have photos from crime scenes. They'll have articles from newspapers. They'll do, you know, even their source materials of where they gather all their information. They have all that kind of stuff inside each one of their episode summaries, which I think is incredible. And I think that a lot of the people that are in that true crime community are going to the website specifically to learn more about each one of these cases that they're talking about. So that was one thing that really stood out to me on that website. Another one that I really liked is the fact that they had a whole list of organizations that they support, and that sometimes when you're doing donations to this podcast, that helps support that, like the Elizabeth Smart Foundation. Nice. And the Child Advocates and things like that. So they fully list that out there. Hey, this podcast is not just a podcast. We're actually doing good in the world. We're, you know, they're talking about true crime, but they're doing things to try to help the true crime community and people that have fallen victims to those kind of things. So I thought that was neat. Another thing that's really interesting is that their merchandise, their store is not always open. Like right now, if you go to their website, you can't buy anything, no merchandise whatsoever, which is really interesting. But when they do open up their store, they only give access at the very beginning to the people that are members. So members get access to their merch first. And if it sells out before you get a chance to, if you're not a member, then you're just out of luck. So that's kind of interesting. And the other thing that just really stood out on this website is the fact that they have their own app, which I don't know that I've heard of any other podcast that has their own app. And I thought that was really interesting. They have latest news, you know, fan-only content, ad-free content, which I thought was really interesting. So if ads are not your thing, you could be a member, go to their app, listen to all their stuff, and not have the interruption of ads, which was interesting. Nice. So, yeah, I think they do an amazing job. Cool. So they're one of my absolute favorite podcasts for sure.
I love it.
You know what's funny about that? It's something you touched on right there, Tabitha. The Call Her Daddy website has a very similar page, like you just talked about organizations and things they support and things that are important to them, except they put it behind a menu bar that says free nudes in all caps. And I will say that I rose my hand. I clicked the button and I got to a page and it said shit Alex cares about. And it listed all these organizations that they support. And I thought, number one, that's just really smart, but it's also hilarious. It's hilarious. And it totally fits with the brand. And I got exactly what I should have gotten out of that. So it was perfect.
Nice. That's perfect.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'll close this out here. I love this particular podcast. I don't get to listen every time they release an episode, and there's almost 4,000 episodes at this point. Like, this is another OG, Entrepreneur on Fire, John Lee Dumas, and, been doing this forever, has this down to a science, but like, if you go to the Fire Nation website, and of course we'll link you guys in the show notes at serialprogressseeker.com. So if you go to this website, you're seeing a lot of interesting things happen. You have the ability to get on a list. You have the ability to buy the book. You have the ability to do a lot of things, but to a much greater extent, this website is highly, highly functional. It's so easy to listen to every episode. It's so easy to subscribe, to the podcast on one of the major networks. You know, you got all of the resources, but you also, you also have kind of a summary of the most important points in the show notes. And of course, they've got their sponsors, and this is a monetization thing. As a sponsor, you pay to be at the top of the show notes, you know, and I think that that's what's interesting. And then, you know, you got a lot of stuff that's just incredibly useful in every post if you listen to an episode. And so, you know, in terms of like usefulness of a website, but I think even more important than that, like a website that puts you at a perspective of, wow, there's a lot of places to spend my money or to become more of a part of this community. This is an excellent, excellent, you know, example of this. These guys have been doing this for a long time. And they've got a lot figured out. And if you're looking for some inspiration, that's definitely a place to go. What I would not do with that one is start there. And the reason is because it can be overwhelming, and you might get to the point where you're thinking, okay, I need to do all of this. I need to have a book. I need to have all these. You don't need to do that. Like I said, at the very least, just give people a place where they can get a little more. Definitely the notes, definitely the things you mentioned on the pod, but how do they get to know you a little more? And I don't care if it's just as simple as, you know, you're linking to your Instagram where you're taking pics of your life and, or, you know, things that relate to your show. That's what people want. They just want to get closer to you. And if you give them that, you'll start to see steady upticks in everything that you're looking for stat-wise, whether it's, you know, monetization or not. I say this, and I want to kind of take us out of the examples and take us back to kind of what we do. There was a time when I told you guys, when we started to kind of like lean into this harder, I said, you know what? Don't worry about monetization at the moment. You know, like, we don't have to worry so much about turning this thing into something that, as we were leaning into the new kind of vibe of, we're talking about podcasting because that's what we really wanted to talk about the whole time. Don't worry about monetizing that. All we really need to do right now is talk about what we want to talk about, lead people back to links that help them, and build a list. Build the list. And you know, that's what our website's primary focus was for a very long time now. If you go to our website now, there's definitely places to spend money. Okay. There's definitely places to spend money. But in the beginning, you know, when we were really doing this, it was a piece at a time, not trying to get everything all at once. It was just, can we build a list? Because if you build the list and you get people in a place where you can communicate them with them on demand, because you send an email or you send a text out, when you do decide to monetize, you've got people that are ready to hear what you have to say. And I think that's the thing, is like, if I had to like give you what to do to start, build a website out, give people access to your socials if you got those, and give people access to show notes and where you can put your links in. That's going to be a very functional thing, but also put something together where people will give you an email address and a name in exchange for something that relates to the topic of your show. And it doesn't have to be complicated. A lot of times people will opt in just for an additional episode that wasn't available to anybody else. It can be that simple. It can be one you recorded that maybe you pulled down, and this is an additional episode that you're going to give out to only to subscribers. And so it doesn't have to be something that's like, okay, I had to go learn how to put together a PDF. You know, like, it can absolutely be just another episode of the podcast. And when you start to build that list, the doors start to swing wide open for all of the ways that you might want to monetize down the road. And so think about this, you know, build that list now. Build it now so that when you get ready to actually, you know, do something that, you know, people can exchange their money for and start to pay you, that you have a way to tell them about it. And so that's sort of the ground floor. And on that, we should probably talk about how we built our website, because that's probably going to be the next question that comes up, right?
Yep, like, 100%. You know. Yeah. not only what we use to create it, but we've talked about some things that are on it, but why are the things that are on it, why are they there? What function do they serve? And how are they working for us? I think those are the biggest questions people have.
Yeah, then the number one thing for me was when we first like really got into monetizing the podcast years ago, and you know, there's been different versions of this podcast. We've had different podcasts. It was very difficult to do the podcast and then go do the show notes and, you know, get the audio player to go on. And that was like a pain, right? And for me, I want every time the podcast gets published within the hour, there to be show notes up on the website, a player where you can play it on the website, and the website to just automatically do that. And that was important for us. We put in a lot of work into this part. You know, we put in a lot of work into editing, and we put a lot of work into doing all of those pieces. What I don't want to be doing is something that I think can be automated. And so our website, you guys, the first thing that had to happen with our website is there had to be a way that when the podcast went live, within an hour after the podcast going live, the show notes were just there automatically. And so, you know, before we even got into all the other things that our website does, that was the first for us, because if we had to, we had to do that work too, there was a level of that could be inconsistent. Sometimes we want to go on vacation, you know, and we do record our podcast in advance. So our podcast can be scheduled to go out, but, you know, we're going to have to manually go do the show notes and, you know, put that in. We want to be able to schedule that out too. And so, automatically, that's what happens when we program our podcast in. Our website literally listens there's, you know, there's a listening process where our website is listening for the podcast to go live on iTunes. And when it does, it pulls in the information and we have a brand new show. We can always go back and edit those pages manually, but it's an automatic thing for us. And so from strictly a functional perspective, that was hugely important for us that we had a website that did that. And after that, you know, there was a couple of really, really key things for me. How easy was it for on every show notes page to pop up an offer that we mention in every show, you know? And so if we're mentioning it on the show and there's a commercial for it in the beginning, how easy is it for someone to hear that, say, I want that, come to the website and not necessarily have to click to another page? How easy is it for it to be on every single page? And so one of the functionalities of our website is that every single page that we want it to show up on, there is at least a pop-up down in the corner where you can click on it, or it will pop up in front of you and it gives you the option to download that thing. And, you know, a lot of the money that we make with this podcast now starts there. It's that simple. It starts with that pop-up that people put their information in, and then we're communicating with them via email. And so that's incredibly, incredibly important to us. From a perspective after that, we do a lot of things. Not only do we do this podcast, but we have courses where we teach, you know, we teach people how to be better podcasters. We do things where we like sell merch, and we have a whole line of podcasting gear that is about to show up in our store, you know, that on top of the stuff that we've been selling forever. And so we have a members area that you can log into. We have courses that you can go buy. This website not only serves as our podcasting, but it serves as sort of the table of contents for our entire business. And so without you having to dig too much, you can land on any of the podcast show notes pages. You can land on, you know, the main website, and right at your fingertips is just about anywhere that you would want to go. If you want to know about the gear that we use to put this podcast on, there's a page that, you know, is our tools page. You can literally go see everything that we use right there with links to go buy it yourself. And so anything that you would need from us so that we talk about on the show, it's so easy for us. It's either done automatically or it's something that we put in, you know, put in very easily with a couple of clicks. And so to me, it's convenience. You know, it's absolutely convenience, not only for our listener base, but for us. If it's too inconvenient for us to update that website, you know, we're probably not going to be serving our listeners the best we can. And so that's the thing. It's, do you have a website that you can make look the way you want it to look, that it can pull in the content that you want to pull in, that you can build your list, that you can monetize that list, and it's done in a very easy way? And, you know, I used WordPress for years. WordPress did not deliver that to me the way that I wanted. I've used various services, and, you know, we ended up building our own. You know, we ended up building kind of our own thing to do that because of that. But I think, you know, without getting into what we built, I think the key for me is, are we doing work that we don't need to be doing that a computer can be doing it? Or are we doing the kind of work that actually matters? And to me, the work that actually matters is this: we talking with each other, exchanging ideas, talking to our community in the Facebook group. But at the same time, we have to pay the bills. And that website absolutely pays the bills for us while taking a lot of the work off of our shoulders that we don't necessarily need to be doing so that we can do the things that actually matter. Was that a good answer? I don't know if that was a good answer or not. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a great answer. Yeah, the biggest piece is, you know, in general, are we happy? Are we content with the spot that we're in from a website standpoint? I know we always want to get better and we want to improve it at all times, but I feel like we're in a pretty good spot where, you know, when someone comes to visit us, they can find the majority of the information that they want. They've got an opportunity to, you know, become a part of this podcast community, which is what we want all the time. Every time someone builds and comes to our website, we want to continue to build that community because we know that that's what's going to make us learn and continue to fuel us when we get together and have conversations. We're bringing what we've heard from that community to this podcast. So I always wonder, you know, how do you feel about how we're doing? Do you feel good about it?
It brings up a good story, actually. Anybody that's sort of been hanging out with us in the last little bit knows that we just recently went through a bit of a rebrand. And like our core logo, even though our core logo is still present, you know, there were some things that changed about it from the podcast brand and everything. And you know, where that actually started is like we kind of like the colors in our backdrops. Like we just started kind of doing this. And we were like, yeah, that's us. Like this feels like it kind of fits us. And so we're like, why doesn't our branding necessarily match this? Because of the way that our website was set up, within an afternoon, all that was done. Like it was not a 2-3 week thing that took us, you know, time to go. And because of the way it was set up, everything was finished. And, you know, and this is dumb, but I'm just going to like throw it out here. You know, sometimes when you do a rebrand, you have to go change every single page on your website. The way ours is kind of set up is like we changed a couple things and it was website wide very, very quickly. Yes. And so I think that that's the thing is like I am the most comfortable I've ever been in terms of the automation that is built into our web presence, the marketing automation that's built into it, but also the ability to go in and make changes quickly. And I think that's the thing is like, this is a business for us. And what scares me about business is when you get something that is so, you can build something that looks great, but it becomes so top heavy and so hard to edit that you can't make those small changes that you need to make to make the business really, really great. And every week in our pod meeting, you guys will come up with something that we're like, oh, that's way better than what we're doing. Do the tools that we use to build our website give us the ability to make those changes fast? And I think that's why I'm so comfortable with where we are right now is I know that what I'm doing right now won't be what I'm doing in 6 months. And are the tools that we're using to build our stuff going to give us that? When I was doing WordPress, and I don't mean to knock WordPress. WordPress is a great tool and it fits a lot of people. But when I was doing WordPress and we had to do a rebrand like what we just did, it would take me weeks to go find a theme, you know, that I really liked. And then I would find the one that I liked and it was just so hard to use because, you know, it didn't fit, you know, it was a different programmer that had built this. And so that was tough on us. And so we had to find something that was like, and by the way, you know, the company we built and what we use is, it's called NetEngine. And we'll put that in the show notes too. Was that 5? I think I got 5. But NetEngine is, you know, what we started.
Well, she had a really good shot there.
If it's really shots, that makes sense, you know. So, but I think that's the key is, you know, with our website, we know that we're going to be changing things, and with this place in our business, we want the ability to make those changes fast. And I think that anybody that's doing a podcast, and this is not a plug for NetEngine, but if you go build a website, no matter what the service you use to build the website for your podcast, make sure that your website does not create more work for you. That's the biggie. If every time I had to go manually type in show notes or you guys had to do it, that's time away from the stuff that we have to do. We do put the show notes together, but once they're in place, they work. And they work across our network. And it's everywhere all at once. And it's on our website. And like I said, that resource is very, very huge for us because when we get traffic there, we have the chance to bring them closer to us, and that's what it's all about. So that's the you know, the biggie. I think anybody that's out there, you know, the lesson is if you're looking to monetize your podcast, you got to be looking at having a website. And, you know, with that website, what is the website providing value to your listener? But then what is that website doing to bring the listener closer to you so that if you're not monetizing them right away, you can eventually get to that point. And that's what you have to be looking at.
Well, I mean, speaking of bringing people closer to you, what a segue, buddy. Nice work. Ooh, so you okay. guys remember we rolled out a new segment to the show recently.
Yes.
And you've already touched on it here today, but we've got our Creepy Dave Award we've got to give out, where we take a little time out here at the end and just share what in the world is making us laugh, because that's one of our favorite things to do aside from podcasting, is to get together in a room and just laugh, because that's what we love to do. So if you don't know about Creepy Dave, don't worry. Guess what? I'm going to take a drink because I got you in the show notes. I'll put them in there. Go love check it. Those out. It's a YouTube link. And if your sense of humor is a little bit out there, you're going to really love it. If you're looking at it and going, well, I don't really get it, then I think you're also in the right. You know, there's no matter what, when you watch this video, you're going to come out of it with something, I think. Just go check that out. But Tab actually brought a Creepy Dave Award this week. So I'm excited to see what she brought. Let's see.
What do you got?
So I was working on social content. I guess it was last week. And Marshall and I recently released an episode. I think it was 101, where we talked about escaping our 9-to-5. And I was like, hey, Marshall, do you have any old photos of like you working at some of these jobs, you know? And he's like, yeah, let me get you some. And he sent these over, and I laughed my ass off at one of these photos that he sent over to me. I'm going to send you a link here, Ben, just so you can kind of see it. But Marshall.
Is it the chicken suit?
Oh my God, he already knows.
And I'm like, I was like, you do know the minute you sent that to me, like that's straight up going on Instagram, right? Like,
yeah.
What a beautiful, I mean, considering what Creepy Day is, our second Creepy Day award goes to Marshall.
Creepy Marshall, here we go. Yeah.
No, I love it. We love dressing up and doing stupid stuff around here. And I think it's time for some sort of costume party.
Right?
We don't have to wait to Halloween.
You are a costume guy. I do know that.
You are.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a, and you know, not to get political here, but this whole not dressing up in drag thing that people have problems with. What's going on? Because I love dressing up like a lady, and I don't understand that at all. Like I absolutely love it, and you know, I am in deep trouble if this becomes a problem. Yeah, sensitive topic. I'm not going to touch that. But no.
Do you remember the story behind the chicken suit, Ben?
Yeah, I was like, you got to tell the story.
I don't. What was the story behind the chicken suit?
Yeah, so I'm so glad you brought this up. So obviously that particular episode of the recording was about, you know, kind of our transition from the old 9-to-5 lifestyle to
good word choice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I get bonus
terrible.
Points right there.
I know. I'm just having all kinds of fun. Nobody's going to listen to the podcast.
That's right. This week. We've lost them all. I just hear them just click, click, click. They're just clicking out. So this was this picture was the perfect example of, you know, the things you do to make a dollar, essentially. Mm-hmm. So this was back when I was at the casino. We had this, you probably even remember this. We had this promotion that went on there for 2 or 3 months where we brought in a live chicken that our people at the casino, they could play to earn points and earn okay. entries to be able to be picked to play tic-tac-toe against a live chicken. Now, this only works at a casino, number one, in Arkansas, number two. So it worked really, really well. And I'm telling you, I told Tabitha this, we had people literally lined around the building for 2 months straight. That was one of our most successful promotions ever. So you could get in front of a live chicken and play tic-tac-toe against them. If you beat the chicken, you won like, I don't know, $5,000 or something like that. Absolutely nice. Ridiculous. Nice. But to roll this out, and you wouldn't even believe there were all these like, so to get these live chickens, we had to have a chicken handler. We had a chicken wrangler that had to come and take care of the chickens. We had to sign all kinds of contracts because there were chicken labor laws.
That was my next question.
Because obviously they need their rest, and they had riders where you had to right. fill their riders with the right amount of feed and water.
Seems like a legal problem. Yes.
So all of that stuff was in place, but to roll them in, we had to do a big event promotional deal. So we all dressed in chicken suits. We brought the wrangler and one of the chickens. We pulled them in a limo. We met them at the limo. We put them up on one of those things that you carry on your shoulders, and we carried them into the casino. And I was wearing a chicken suit doing all of this.
That is amazing.
There's got to be more than just one photo.
Surely, probably somewhere.
But all that to say, holy shnikes, I'm very glad to be out of the 95. There you go.
I love it.
And now the first recipient of the Creepy Dave Award.
There you go.
Yeah, there That's you right. go. Congratulations. Now I'm a big fan of all the dress up things. So especially the chicken costume. That's absolutely amazing. I enjoyed it. And, you know, to me, one of the big things, the takeaways from me is, you know, all of the things you guys brought up. Some of these are sites I'd never seen before. I've listened to the pods, but I'd actually never seen these before. And it's fascinating to deconstruct, you know, the different ways that people monetize. And what I love is too, is, you know, you don't have to have a huge podcast to make money with it. But I do believe, I'm a firm believer in this, I do believe that most of the podcasts that are making any sort of significant money, even the ones with very small listener bases, have a website. You know, it's something that they control, that they can do what they want to do on it. And I think that that's the big takeaway is, like, you know, when you're really getting into your podcast, or you've maybe been doing your podcast for a while and you really want to start, you know, getting serious about the monetization part, think about what service your website plays for your listeners. And then, you know, how can you bring them closer? And just giving them the opportunities. And the beautiful part is, if you build it like us, where you can, like, change things fast, you can test week to week. And you can get data almost instantly every time your podcast comes out. And I think that that's the big takeaway. So thanks for listening. We'll be back very, very soon, like in a week. Yeah, no, in a week from now, we'll be back. And you can hear the next episode where we're going to talk more podcasting and how you can grow your podcasts. And yeah, that was too formal of an ending, so I don't like it. Bye? Bye?
Oh, you're going to do the bye. Smartless bye? I like it.
Bye! All right.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode of the Serial Progress Seeker Podcast. If you want to listen to more episodes, learn more about our mission, or send us questions or feedback about the show, go to serialprogressseeker.com. You can help the mission by subscribing, reviewing, rating, and commenting wherever you listen to or watch podcasts. And be sure to connect with us on social media for all the latest through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We'll catch you next time, Serial Progress Seekers.